Hi, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're going to have a very different and a very interesting guest today and topic, and yet something that everyone, I'm sure, feel very familiar with, too. So, well, before we do that, though, I am always interested in reaching out to you, our listeners, to hear what your thoughts about the program might be, and also, especially, if you have a topic or a particular area you'd like us to research, or maybe do a couple of programs on, we'd be delighted to do that. But we have to hear from you. I'm going to give you two ways to reach us, and I hope you take advantage of it, especially if you have some particular topic you'd like to hear about. Well, first, you could either just put a stamp on an envelope and send us a letter, your comments, and you could address that to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. If you're on the computer and prefer emailing us, please do so at clemens10@aol.com. And while you're on the computer, I'd like you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. And at that website, which is spirituality.org, that's spirituality.org, you can find articles, features, and especially this program. You could listen to Thoughts for the Week. There are archived programs there, so you'll have a number of particular topics that you might be interested in. And, of course, you can listen to it at your own convenience. So, again, I hope you, if you wish, and if you have a topic, please get in touch with us. And also, I hope you are able to enjoy our program at your leisure on the computer, if you have that facility. And we, again, though, I don't want to not thank all the stations who carry our program with the deepest appreciation. Well, first off, Dorothy Rare, my co-host, is not able to be with us today, so we have to wish her well, and I'm sure she'll join us soon. And I'd like to introduce our guest. Now, we'd like to welcome to Thoughts for the Week, Andrew Massey. And Andrew has a particular, well, you might consider it the road trip of all road trips. And I'd like to introduce him with you. Andrew is a visitor of cathedrals, and he has a particular, well, it really is a mission. But let's talk about Dan. First, Andrew, welcome to Thoughts for the Week.
Thanks, Father Ray, for having me here. It's good to be here.
And delighted to have you here. I would like to ask you a little bit about this this mission of yours, this goal of yours. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I'm trying to visit all 192 cathedrals and 85 basilicas in the United States.
Wow.
And trying to get to all 50 states as well.
So it's kind of combined with the great, let's see, America first kind of a thing. And as well as, now you mentioned 192 cathedrals, and I think it was 85
basilicas.
85 basilicas. Now, basilica is a little different. Like St. Peter's Basilica is not the Bishop of Rome, the Pope's cathedral.
Right. St. Peter's Basilica is where most of the papal liturgies are held in the Vatican. Pope has his own cathedral in the Diocese of Rome, the major basilica of St. John Lantern, which is the cathedral in the Diocese of Rome, the Pope's main church. But most of his liturgical functions are held in St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah, most people don't realize that. Basilica simply means a major or a very important church in a particular diocese, I think.
It's like a church that had a deep bond between that diocese and the Holy See in Rome. And the Pope grants special recognition to certain parish and churches, and based on the liturgical life of the parish, the architecture, the clergy, and the history, pretty much, and it becomes a minor basilica. Most basilicas that are named around the world are minor. The major ones are in Rome.
So the, yes, and the Basilica, I just realized something in regard to our own Diocese of Bridgeport. For those listening, this is emanating from the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. And we've had a church named a Basilica.
That's why St. John here. The Evangelist in Stamford.
So we have both. So you have two places to go to in your own diocese, which is really good. And, so this is a fascinating thing. When or how did you develop this idea, this notion of visiting all 50 states and the 192 cathedrals and 85 basilicas?
It came to me during Easter Mass a few years ago, and I was praying in the Cathedral Basilica of the Sacred Heart in Newark, New Jersey. And during that time of prayer, an idea popped into my head, and they said to me, go see the other cathedral, not just this one, not just the ones in Connecticut. Explore and see what others are out there. And as soon as that idea came in, I started planning right away.
Well, so how did you put this together? Did you sort of say, well, let's visit the nearest first? Or did you have another plan?
I went to the nearest first, which was the ones that were drivable to, and then once I accomplished that, that's when I started taking off in flight and visiting ones farther and farther away.
When, I just wonder, how have you done? Now, you've been doing this how long now?
It will be, 2014, it'll be 5 years in April.
Ah, very good. Well, I thought it might take a little aside here just to note that those who are listening who happen to be in the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, there's a marvelous article on Andrew Massey, our guest today, in the Fairfield County Catholic, the latest edition. And great to sit back and read that and get a little more detail there, too. But we're delighted to have him in person with us today to speak about what's going on. It's amazing that you are taking this task on, and is it simply, or is there a lot more going on in you as far as the idea you want to visit these cathedrals? What do you look for when you visit a cathedral?
I look forward to deepen my faith, to see the beauty of the churches, and to get to know the people in that particular area, the clergy and the parishioners, those who are visiting as well as me. And just want to learn the history, want to see the beauty of them, and to visit them, and just be in awe, you know, that, because these cathedrals are like the home for our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm. And they tend to be, I think, the first church or major church within a particular diocese.
Right.
Because I know that St. Augustine Cathedral, our own, I think, goes back to what, 1842, I believe?
Something like that. I know it's the oldest Catholic church in the diocese, and after that, it's the Basilica in Stamford, I believe.
St. John.
Oh, no, actually, yeah. No. It's actually St. Mary's in Norwalk, then the Basilica.
Yeah. When you go to these particular places, and you mentioned that, it's so important, the idea of if you're going in to be for an experience as well as faith. I mean, obviously you're walking in for a prayerful experience. I wonder if you could describe entering into a cathedral. I mean, how you prepare for that? Did you research a particular cathedral, not only find out, well, where it is and how to get there, but did you research a little bit of the history of it first, or do you just kind of cold walk into it?
I research some of them actually before I go. You know, do online research and check out the mass time, the history of the parish, what the area is in, and everything. And I go in and I'm just in awe. And because it's a cathedral, like for example, the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis in St. Louis, Missouri. When I visited there, I was just completely blown away how magnificent and massive and gorgeous it is. It has the largest mosaic collection in the world.
Wow.
It's like the Rome of the West. Yeah. They used to call St. Louis Rome of the West because of the beauty of the churches down there.
Of course, the famous Crystal Cathedral that was part of that evangelical cathedral in the past that eventually became I guess it's now Christ the King Cathedral, if I remember correctly, California.
The one in the Orange Diocese, yes. They call Christ Cathedral.
Yes.
And right now they're on like almost near the finish line, but the renovation, the restoration. And I think they're going to have the massive dedication this summer, I believe. But so far, I've seen the pictures online, on social media, and the transformation started to take place. It started to become a Catholic cathedral. It's done really beautiful.
Now that one you haven't been to yet.
No, but I'm waiting to actually open it up for the public.
Yeah, wow. Well, I kept thinking of that one as well. As long as you're visiting cathedrals, boy. Do you have any other favorites? You mentioned St. Louis and how awesome that was. Have you been, have any others that you...
I keep again,
up
the love Cathedral of St. Augustine here in Bridgeport. Number one, of course. I loved Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis the King in New Orleans. It's the oldest used cathedral in the United States.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's
sure.
It's beautiful.
Orleans, yeah.
It's got a lot of history, a lot of architecture, artwork there. It's just gorgeous. Also loved Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago, Illinois. That's just really, really, really beautiful.
Is it... have you been able to speak to the rectors or to any individuals who helped you out there?
Usually I speak to the priests there, whoever's mm-hmm. celebrating the Mass when I'm there. Most of the time it's the rectors, but there'll be other priests, and I would introduce myself and say, I'm visiting for the first time. I tell them where I'm from, and they say, welcome, good to have you here. And I take pictures, and I show them some of the pictures I've taken, and it's just, they say to me, it's spectacular. You're doing a great job. And they bless me and send me forward, and I tell them I'm on my way to complete my mission.
That is really something. That's great. And are you still doing that idea of home to the nearer ones? I mean, even as you travel, like Chicago, you haven't gone to anything farther than that? Or how far have you gotten?
I'm gone so far as to Los Angeles.
So you made it all the way. How many states?
30.
30 of the 50. Yeah, that's really great. You mentioned St. Augustine Cathedral. I wanted very much to get back to that, to our cathedral here in Bridgeport. Its history, of course, goes back to, I guess it was St. James. It wasn't called St.
I think it was originally supposed to be called St. James. That's when I think, if I remember correctly, that's when the name they were leaning toward. And then some reason, they went to St. Augustine.
Yeah, yeah, later on. But it goes back to the 1840s, I know. And when you take a look at at these cathedrals, so many of them were built during... after Courageous. There probably were an immigrant population who were coming into this country. They're dealing with anti-Catholicism and also all the difficulties that immigrants might have to face. And that cathedral must have had a tremendous meaning for them, that they've completed this work. And I know St. Augustine's a lot of it. Of course, that's interesting because it's ours. And we knew that it had been remodeled. Like the St. Augustine I knew when I was went in for ordination is not the same place that's there now, yet it is much the same. Beautiful windows.
Absolutely, yes.
I say magnificent. In there. Wow.
Especially when the light comes in, sunlight streams right through it, it should enhance the beauty of the place.
You can see how the idea of a sacred place can be experienced just by that phenomenal, phenomenal thing.
There were some cathedrals I've been to that are just spectacular, and I'm just, like, blown away. But there are also some that I've been to, and then, like, I say to myself, it's beautiful, but it's very modern. If it's modern, like, in my head, I go, eh, you know, but each one of them, they serve one faith, the Catholic faith, and then the Mother Church of that diocese. So they are beautiful to the people in that diocese. And the rich in history, of course, and they serve the purposes of being the Mother Church, the role model for everyone in that particular diocese.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. You could almost see how a particular diocese grew and became. You see sort of a network of churches from the cathedral church that starts moving around. And now, Connecticut. Of course, our diocese is really new in a way. Diocese of Bridgeport was within my lifetime coming into existence. So if for those listening, especially those who are not in the New England area, Connecticut was was the diocese of Hartford. I think it had all of Connecticut. I think it had Rhode Island and part of Massachusetts, too, if I remember correctly. And then when the population grows to a certain point, then it starts qualifying, I guess, to become a diocese. So the archdiocese, with the mother diocese, that creates these other dioceses attached to it.
Yeah, it's like as the Catholic population should explode, and then I guess the diocese of Hartford could, you know, be, you know, contained, you know, but not the word, I don't know.
Almost unmanageable. Yeah, I know.
Manageable.
And then
they couldn't keep up with it. That's the word.
Yeah, keep up with it. Really, really working
all out.
So
they split it all, I guess, the Holy See in Rome, and it's going to be the Archdiocese, Hartford's going to be its own diocese, Bridgeport's going to be its own, and Norwich's going to be its own, and Providence and Rhode Island's going to be its own. With the Archdiocese, the metropolitan province, and Bridgeport, Norwich, and Providence and Rhode Island are what called sub-branch dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of the same province, but their own individual diocese.
Now, have you been to the cathedral in Norwich? Norwich diocese?
Yes, St. Patrick's Cathedral. Beautiful, beautiful. They went on this restoration, I want to say maybe 3 or 4 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. I believe the same people who did the Basilica in Stamford worked on that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you know much about the architects of the various cathedrals you visited?
Based on the pictures I've taken, and very little, very little.
Mm-hmm. Now this is, you just mentioned another area that you, one of the things you try to do is to take pictures of everything, right? The cathedrals and...
Yes.
So your master, you must have an incredible portfolio of photographs.
I keep them all on my computer, and I, of course I back it up into a little flash drive, and nothing gets lost. And I upload them to my social media accounts and also my Flickr page where everybody could see them. And then the people that like them or comment on them. And then the journey keeps going until I complete, take pictures of all the cathedrals and basilicas in the U.S.
You know, of course, given my older age, I keep thinking of, gee, I wonder if Andrew's going to put together a book. But maybe it's not a book. Maybe it is just what you're saying, something that's available through other technological social media or whatever. Is that what or are you thinking of creating some other things with it?
I'm thinking of doing like a little coffee table book. One of my coworkers suggested that, and you know, like a little flip page of like a picture to picture and page of pictures. And I want to also do maybe a slideshow, lecture, presentation, and maybe on the parish, the diocese. That's why I could take people on like on a little tour of the various places I've been to. And a lot of these people probably can't go to see them themselves.
No.
And so it's like I could be like a little tour guy. You know, I could point this out, I could point that out, where this is, where I took that one. You know, that's an idea I have.
You know, and I think, I can imagine how tremendously valuable it is. And really, I'm very excited about that you're doing this. And I know you have 20 more states. still
20 more states to go. I know I'm going to make it across the finish line. And when I do, and I'm going to say to myself...
Oh, you're a young man. You'll do it.
When I cross the finish line, I'm going to say to myself, what now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're going to have plenty of work putting together those lectures and putting together that book. I'm starting to think of the Archdiocese of Hartford. Now I've got going. I'm taking a look at the cathedrals. Now, Hartford, St. Joseph Cathedral. Now, could you tell us a little about the history of that? Because I was in the seminary up in Bloomfield at St. Thomas Seminary.
Yes, St. Thomas.
Where around the time that the new St. Joseph's was being opened. Now it's a long time ago, but could you tell us a little bit about that when you visited
St. Joseph's Cathedral? The current church right now was built, I believe, in the 1960s sometime, because the previous church was a Gothic-style cathedral, had a massive fire, which completely destroyed the cathedral, so they rebuilt it from the ground up to what is currently in the cathedral now, a very modern-looking cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's got beautiful stained glass windows. I mean, they're huge. They're massive. And the way the sunlight streams through them, it should... If some people may not like model cathedral, they may say, not my type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not my type of place. But once they walk into St. Joseph, they're going to be blown away by, especially on a clear, sunny day when the sunlight streams through the stained glass windows. It just enhances the beauty. It's the largest cathedral in Connecticut.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, because I remember when it was finished and it had that sort of a modernistic look to it. It still had very much, you knew it was a church. You knew it was a cathedral. But I wasn't sure on the inside whether it was, how it really was. Look, I was in there. We attended, the seminarians went there for some event. Oh, boy, I can't recall what it was. But we were up in the choir loft, and I really didn't, kind of came in with a bus and left, and I really didn't get a chance to appreciate and walk around the cathedral. So hearing it from you is really, really good. I'm really glad to hear that.
It's huge. It's big.
It's big.
And it hosts a lot of archdiocese liturgical events, mm-hmm. like an ordination of priests. They ordained a new auxiliary bishop for the first time, like 20 years back last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the installation of the archbishop within, I mean, 5 years' time, I think.
Wow. You know, when we talk about the this particular story, and you're sharing with on that cathedral, have you picked up any very interesting stories from others on other cathedrals? If I'm making you the tour guide now, you know, I wonder if you had any thoughts about that.
I'm telling stories here and there, like St. Augustine Cathedral Basilica mm-hmm. in St. Augustine, Florida. When I went down there, I did not know this until I got there. One of the ushers told me this church was the oldest Catholic parish in the country.
That's right, St. Augustine is the oldest city, yeah.
The oldest city in the country, yeah. I believe, when the settlers, but people mm-hmm. first coming over from Europe. And I think St. Augustine was like one of the first places they settled.
Mm-hmm.
And the cathedral there, I think the very first church they built in the United States, but Catholic parish in the United States, the oldest too. And I just didn't know that.
Well, now I'm interested in how it looked. Had it been remodeled a number of times, or
it's been remodeled a few times? Yes.
And how did it impress you?
It looks beautiful now. They did a restoration. I want to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It brought back the original idea of the architecture.
Mm.
Beautiful, the marble floors, which make the organ and music sound much better. And the stained glass windows are beautiful. And the church is like a Spanish style.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not sure what the right word is to call it, but it's like a Spanish fort kind of style cathedral. And it's just, if anybody goes down to that part of Florida, definitely make a stop there.
Mm. You know, in building a cathedral and remodeling a cathedral, there's a lot more that goes into it, I'm sure, than, let's say, establishing a parish church. Because the cathedral's usage is much greater, or involves many more different events than the parish church.
Not just sort of the parish community, it serves the whole diocese.
Mm.
So the parish had to, you know, share their church. For sure, that cathedral had to share their church with everyone else in the diocese, because major functions would be held there, mm-hmm. and the bishop or archbishop had the mass there. A lot of people from all over across the diocese, archdiocese, could come flock to that cathedral for the masses. And
and then ordinations, all the other events, as you mentioned. You know, what I noticed at St. Augustine, too, was the organ. These are phenomenal things. They usually, these old pipe organs, phenomenal presences in the cathedral. Have you noticed them very much? And also, I'm kind of interested in the impression that they gave to the overall feel that you had in the cathedral.
The organs definitely do bring out the best in the cathedral because of the music.
Mm.
And when you hear a good set of pipe organ, the music comes to you very clearly, very loudly, especially if the cathedral has like marble floors,
mm-hmm.
so it bounces off better. And there's some places in the cathedral that don't have pipe organ; they have like electronic.
Mm.
Well, that's okay, you know, for them and for me personally. I think a pipe organ would be much better. It would be more suited.
Yeah, nothing like that. You've got a booming pipe organ.
But I keep my thoughts to myself when I introduce myself to the organist. I say to him, beautiful music, great job today. And then I get in my car and like, wish you had pipes.
Listen, you know, I don't want to lose the time because I only have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you to, if someone would like to learn more about what you're doing, because you talked about availability, how can someone or I get on the computer and be in touch with what you're doing?
I'm on Facebook, Andrew Macy on Facebook. You can search me there. Both my pictures are on there.
It's, by the way, Andrew Massey, Macy is M-A-S-I.
That's correct.
Right, okay. So you're on there.
And I'm also on Instagram. Many of my travel pictures go to. My Instagram name is Good Times with Andy.
Good Times with Andy, okay.
And I also have a Flickr page, Andrew Macy Flickr, because easy to search, I believe.
Okay, well, you have me totally lost, but I'm sure many of the people listening will know what all these things are. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with Facebook, but Flickr page, I'm not too sure about that. Instagram, I guess, is something that just produces pictures. That's something for pictures, I presume.
Yeah, pictures, videos, pretty much almost anything.
Okay, well, I'm glad about that. Listen, in our last bit here, I'm just wondering about, do you have any desire to visit other cathedrals outside of the United States?
Oh, yes.
You got to finish your mission first, though?
I'm going to finish here in the United States further before I branch out into the world.
Yeah, there's another book, and there's another event for you, a tour.
That's going to take me a little longer, though, once I go outside the United States, Canada, Mexico, Europe. All those places are going to take me a lot longer, but I definitely want to do those one day.
You're going to have your hair is going to look like mine by the time you've completed all that. Well, listen, we have our really run out of time for this particular program. I'm happy that we're going to have Andrew as a guest again. But cathedrals, the heart of a particular diocese, as I said, Andrew will give you ways in which you can in his Facebook. And it's Macy, not Mass. Okay, I've been
Macy.
M-A-S-I. Okay. And I hope those who are especially skilled in the social media may take advantage of this because I'm sure it's going to be tremendous. And I know I'm not going to live long enough to see your completion, but I wish you well. I pray for your success. What a wonderful thing to do, you know? Well, God bless everyone, and God bless you, Andrew, and thank you all for being on Thoughts for the Week. Join us again next week.